Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I normally do kind of funny stuff. I'm afraid tonight, no funny stuff. Death all the way. Well, the first one, there's not too much death in the first one, so I thought I'd finish you off with the second. So anyway, this is a poem about childhood. It's about childhood. It's called Seashell. I remember, cannot forget the sea. I had no will of my own. The power of tides, open space, the world overwhelming me. Frightening figures towered over me till I grew hard and pallid. Tossed into schools like dungeons with other chipped shells, I hid in back rows, knowing things, nothing said, in my silence burning, waiting for a moment. Slow and vast, murmuring seas opened life at last, carelessly swishing me freedom to leave. Beauty in clement darkness around me, crouched under weeping stones, me, exultant and unrepentant, deep in the cave. Now I see that's only half done you in. So I kept the best for last. The grave. It's about being at a funeral.
I don't want to know.
We shimmer in the rain by white marble that is like nothing on earth. Rain bathes on our black clothes, weeps for us. We are dying. We long to pray, look for light. We are finished. Finished crying now. Fishes, open mouthed, hooked and hanging in a long, slow kiss of pain and grief. Our wounded face, a priest binds up with words, closes off with his black Bible. Our eyes dream, we suck for air, for meaning, for hope, for life. We are dying with no answers. Beside pitiless marble, puny cries of grief, incomprehension, we stand and demand where God is. Why he has forsaken us. While somewhere far above the dark wet ground, a clouded Christ walks still over dark oceans of the universe, fishing for us. A clouded Christ, triumphant and serene. All we know for sure now is that we are alive beneath the clouds. Nothing new, and not the end.
I just noticed this light bulb is positioned right above the head, so it looks like you have a brilliant idea. I wonder if it grants you, if every time you put a light bulb over your head, you had a great idea for a poem. I have a warehouse of like all the stuff I want. Next one. All right, random thought. Next one, Julia Madden.
Yes, they
have
together.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
She's
got to be
okay. So is she going to be back later?
No, she has to go.
Oh, okay. Where's as usual, this group comes in droves, between thoughts and words, feeling and feigning. Somehow it doesn't eclipse me. No need to connect the dots on the polished painting, brown skin, skin like, and is it enough? Whether I cast the dots or come ball or not, it's really no matter today. I'm trying to paint the sea. I sit down inside myself, delving feet down deeper, body curled over beams, rooted in the sand. Sun on my back, kissing it tenderly. Even the monster steps aside when I tell him he's standing in my sun. Could take all the way to China today. I'm trying to paint the sea. I walk along the headland, looking down from my ship, examine the caves like their caverns of my heart. Folds upon folds, layers upon layers. Some caves clash crumbling to dust, others are clear cut, pristine like crystals, so deep down and twisting, erosion of experience cannot creep this far in. The June grass is my bed today. I'm trying to paint the sea. I'm trying to paint the sea today, trying to set something in stone that is born in the spray, tether with words that which whispers in moonbeams and writes in the sand. There is no need to, so I'm trying to feel the sea today. Waves touch my shore with the caress of a lover. Each point of connection laps at old hurts and new joys, no horizon divides. I'll put down my brushes, step out of my painting and swim in it, shedding my old sins for new goosebumped flesh. As I see a ship sail into the sparkle of the sun left for his son, I realize Icarus did not die at all, but was consumed all in flames. And stepping out of his picture, he sent him to Ali.
Okay, I'm going to do two points tonight. And the first one, the second one can't, the first one. The first one's kind of about loneliness. And it came out of the experience of loneliness. And I think it, generally what we do when loneliness comes is we tend to do something or call a friend or go to the pub. But, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But often, what I like to do is to stay with that feeling of loneliness and see what happens. And often what happens is that it changes into an experience of aloneness. And that's quite a pleasant experience for me. It's kind of, you know, you're enjoying your solitude and it's peaceful. Mm-hmm. And the second point came out of that, and I like to think the second point answered the first. So the first one is called Loneliness, and the second point is called Let Her Come. And I'm going to mix it up with a few tunes. I think the first one's a slow Irish air, Casey Cummin, I think, and the second one is The Cliffs of Moher, and I think the Connacht Man's Rambles as well, there is one. So letter, first one is loneliness. Just me and the long summer nights and the wandering clouds. Summer nights and the wandering clouds, spilling their sustenance like sadness. Thank you. let her come. Let her come out of the stillness of your own heart. Invite her in to share your solitude. And make love to her like you are a passing cloud and she is the night sky.
Taking freedom for a grown-up, yet the sun, constant beneath clouds, fulfills her promise surely, giving her fantasies and drawing the actual future. What is it that I stuck in the back of a tractor, crawling silage, and never believed truck trailer? A good flash of tea is a perfect reward for a good day's work, not to mention why sound is. And watching Kim the dog watching the rabbit hole intently, her meal being fresher than ours. One way or another, we're all fed by the sound that keeps providing. Thank you. Thank you.
She dons her Bacardi and Coke and catches the eye of that bloke. Come follow me, not waving my fee, we're just going outside for a smoke. John W. had a poem with a hooded crow in it and he crept in here as well. The Stalker. I stop the alley to and fro each day. My evil eye displays a clear intent. My spring is high enough to reach my prey. These little clamps of mine keep tongues at bay. My lexic pitch does not embrace lament. I stop the alley to and fro each day. At every chance I strike without delay. My feral breed does not require consent. My spring is high enough to leech my prey. This broken thrush was doing a slow sachet. Unlike the other 99%, I walk the alley to and fro each day. I yet to taste the hooded crow's dismay. He scans the path before each rare descent. My spring's not high enough to teach this prey. Oh yes, I draw a blank some weeks, but say, I never show a sign of discontent, but stalk the alley to and fro each day. My spring is high enough to bleach my prey. Young lady with ardor to quell, caused some Tories to feel so unwell. She was having it off with the spy Ivanov and Johnny Perfumo as well. The waiting. No word. 10 paces to the window. The harbour's mouth empty. Nothing but another vacant wave. Steep against the edge, another silent gull. The phone, the only one for miles. Don't touch it. Surely no news is good news. What is it? They're well overdue. Why no message? God damn it. No, sorry. They're only late. But supposing a leak? A fouled propeller? Maybe a ground? Radio shade? Fatigue? Fire? A sub? Or whale? Even a pit prop? Gas explosion, broken peacock. Brother, stop it, what's the time? Pump jams, man overboard, a rusty mine. The bay window, binoculars. Black point, bleaker, blacker. Yes, the wireless, no, leave that squelcher. It's fresher now, the swell more lumpy. The broken cliffs more brittle. I know, water in the fuel, that was... A steeper trough and the upturning hulk, the first cold plunge of panic of the half-tide rock. Blasted to hell, the orange fender slips down a plank of sky to grapple with the hull, an azure hull. Hull with a list, rolling her red underbelly and losing buoyancy, losing stability like me. Yes, I can nearly taste the salt. The seascape fades to grey muck. Shiver. No, not fog. The Christine in June. Cut in two. Lost with all hands. Admitted, they are overdue. Tears spill from waterproof eyepieces. The blinking mist clears. Thanks be. The sea can be a good friend. A tractor growls outside. But a bad master. The marsh clatter of teeth. Pray now. Pray for God's sake.
Okay, so the next one is Aaron, the boogeyman.
I went to see a film on Friday night called Joy Division, about the band Joy Division. And I never knew anything about the band really until I went to see the film. The film's an amazing documentary, and it takes someone like myself, a novice of that history and that band, and it really gives you some information. It gives you an insight into the life of Ian Curtis, and even if you're not into Joy Division or into that kind of music, as a writer, it's a great film to come to. So I tried to write a poem about it. From shadows he stood, his grey-white eyes looking into the abyss of his soul. A poetic rearranger lost in a Mancunian cityscape, writing out meanings and playing your notes, your only escape. from rusty factory floors to world stages, the light shone on you. Epileptic attacks not holding you back. A dance that entranced us all. Through your pain, you saved us and inspired our hearts. Thank you. Your love will tear us apart. Thank you. When I was 18, I met a person called Rocky, and he unconsciously inspired me at the time. But sometimes things happen to us in life, and it takes a few years for it to emerge. And I was always interested in words and quotations, and he was really into poetry, and he was into really amazing poetry, and he shifted my perception on what poetry was, because poetry to me was something boring that he did in English classes, and it didn't inspire me, and this guy changed that perception. So this is a poem by Rossi, and it's called Laurie the Low Lion. And he does a voice, a kind of a London accent voice, which I don't want to try to replicate, but I'll give you a taste of what it sounds like. Laurie the Low Lion. That's a little bit of a choice. People just hate me. It's always the same, constantly judging me through the bars. I should get up and eat and tend to my mane, but I simply can't be arsed. I've got an ingrown toenail. No doubt I'll be tranquilized. They'll fire it from their guns. Every day they bring meat. What a surprise. And I've got the runs. All I've ever known is this enclosure. They wonder why I do not stir. Oh look, more meat, told it. And I've got grey fur. The monkeys in their cages that I face, they mock every single day. They've got ponds and ropes and lots of space. Me, I've just got clay. Night times are the worst. I look to the sky and think of the freedom up there. These people must be stupid. Do they really not know why? I just lie and eat and stare. One thing that I do, though, has baffled many a warder, is I arrange my meat in order of size. This is obsessive compulsive disorder. A lion with OCD? I mean, are you having a giraffe? Just because I go all panicky if I don't save the smallest for last. Now, the other thing I've got to worry about, but I dream of female company, a wild savannah beneath the stars, where I can run free and truly be free, but instead all I see is bars. So next time you're at my zoo and you see me in my cage, put yourself into my shoe and feel my emptiness and rage. Or maybe chuck some fruit at me into my prison cell. I am Laurie the Lord's Lion, probably with OCD as well. And if I got time, how long is the time? I need 3 minutes at the most. Or a minute, no, I've got a time to try.
Next up to the open mic, Dean Barry.
Thank you very much, Maria, and thanks for sharing your poetry with us. We're going to miss you, and good luck. Poem is called Beautiful Man. The keel of his undergrowth was the length of every street he busily rushed along in his unfashioned ability. It was as wide as the schoolyards that doled out his daily execution. His boy still played there every day. His shuffle of shame glided non-invasively and was wrapped in the helplessness of a famine graveyard. His name in hiding took every language for its tongue, and was mispronounced on Moulin Pad, Granvia, and Winter Street. I wondered if he spoke at all, and if he did manage the odd request, was it in the dialect of forgiveness or retribution? Whose god had dipped in the unjust bag that moment, and in turning that blind eye, donated a lifetime of punishment? I genuflected to his inner strength, cried inside as I witnessed his ugliness, and felt the power of his beauty. This one is called Honesty's Bedfellow. So loads of liars. Your tolerance, offensive to that of a tax barometer, scrutinized in optimistic favor, was that limited straw that drove conscience before stubbornness to assemble a flatlined plate of honesty. I loved you more, so much more that I feared the inadequacies of my thankfulness, that I unstringed my Cupid's bow and answered like my dead father. You reached out like a Normandy trench and touched a family you didn't give birth to with your kindness. You placed prose in the queue and merely set it straightforward as an infant. Thanks. I'll read a third poem here, called Turkish Bats. The inspiration for this came when I was in Jacob's on Mel, that restaurant one night, which was expensive. I didn't pay for it, it was a freebie. I was with Bob Welsh from the Human No Bob Welsh, Robert Welsh, and so the poem is called Turkish Bats. Okay. Disappointed. What's this? Disappointed. Orchard bridles Brzezinski's compassionate son as he nursed his twin cup to a table at Jacob's. The front row decorated with their father. I heard an echo of mechanics broadcasting on repeat as the Ducros family maintained the haunting harmony. Bind crowd chingage, you fuckers, it's head to head now. An emotional thread worming its way through generations of unfinished business. A crescendo of anger sitting in the changing rooms, uncaptained. The award-winning meal of ifs and whats waiting to be digested. Lawrence, I ask you now another language to master, a language of resolution and awareness of forgiveness. Exercise these torments now encased in blinker generations. Thanks very much.
Multitudes are dying at your crude bean sorry feet. with your two-tier head system, which, by the way, goes well with your chin. Your private sector is soaring. Families are mourning. Corruption from within. Ireland becomes third world yet again. You have betrayed your own sex, let down your country. Women and children suffer the most. You should be left rot, swine lady, with dopey dirty, and be forever haunted by your own ghost. For how stupid a nation to suffer this long, reinstating a Hearn and Harry, this Orwellian ping and pong. Their pay packets are rising right up to the sky, like a wall of remembrance etched with names so high of young women dead without any breasts. Paid more than George Bush for Bertie's corruption of the Dáil, where he served his apprenticeship under the sneakiest of them all, the roguish Charles Day, who slithered his way through the land of Fianna Fáil. But the Fianna did fall. Who gives a sacrificial lamb? It's obviously last call for democracy in era, if the proletariat leads themselves to slaughter. So shoot the bloody tiger. Get rid of them now. Don't allow our country be run by a despot and his sow. Dethrone Brendan Bertie and his genocide days. Lay them bare on Justice Square forever as a reminder that Ireland eventually fought to save her bully-breasted daughters.
So, Helen Kavanagh Ronan, who just read the last poem, recently went on a trip to New York City, and I happened to come from that general area, so I thought I would read a couple of poems about New York City as I've seen it. Obviously, there's many versions of New York City, many different perspectives you could have on it. This happens to be a perspective of living kind of in the outer suburbs, like even farther out than the outer suburbs, but still within the orbit of this gigantic kind of iron and brick hole that kind of attracted a lot of people into it and kind of messed them up. So here's the first one. Winds blowing rain over the ventilators and the parking lot, and the sagging chain link fence opens onto weeds and a highway and an overpass, all wet with rain and in the distance, factories. And here's the second one. A fabric of lips and stuffing, a soggy ditch piled with dog shit and wet leaves, a red rivulet of blood from the resting mass of some roadside mammal, a shredded blanket made of synthetic wool. Take the last piece of this shredded blanket, cover the corpse of this pathetic dog with it. Make sure no car's headlights are peeking over the hill in the distance, and secretly make the sign of the cross. A dark lake, wet, mud in the rain, smoke from a car parked behind and idling. New York and Boston to the left and right of you are teeming with tiny moving lights.
Next up to the open mic, Yonbara.
Okay, this is my answer to a 17th century question. You guys know.
What's the question?
I can't say that to the end. It's religious. I know your view without paradise. And I don't want it, but angels, saints, and seraphims, they all go to the toilet. And if you see him, please do tell St. Thomas Aquinas that Francis of Assisi serenely wipes his ass. And cherubs don't wear diapers, sir, and it always come up trumps. When they flow over your head, sir, they'll always take a dump. That heavenly fanfare that you hear is a heavenly dose of diarrhea and that unique contrabassoon supplied by Padre Pion. Oh, someone tell St. Catherine she let us know her in the fog as Cecilia plays the trumpet as she leaks out smelling fog. St. Peter is denying he left one off, but he still ain't telling. Something rusts behind the pearly gate. I swear the place is smelling. And St. Martin the Poirier's, he's always on the move, whether using his wash cabinet or visiting the room. I'm sorry. To all the harebrained capers, and when you need to clean your soul, he'll find your toilet paper. And I missed the line. Elijah, he's that bearded one in the Old Testament. Another sage, old scribe, who indulged in excrement. And on that fatal day of the transfiguration, he was the last one to arrive. He had bad constipation. And the virgin looks so sweetly, and you know she's let one go. The angels round him scatter, and all his fresh air wings roar. And with chubby little fingers, they tightly grip their noses. It's hell up here, and I do fear the place don't smell roses. Because, ladies and gentlemen, they all shit in hell.
The postman is your best friend. Make your letters read like poetry. Words like seeds. Heaven's proud. Sinead.
Should I stand softly in my wish, in the hope of picking them in paradise? Or is that place there a saint's tell, after the worms fear the earth? Is the kiss I missed in my lifetime to be obtained after the dirt? The O'Riordan's probably most famous poem. What a heart. for their remains. I mentioned to Alan last week. It's called exchange. Sometimes it's called turnbook. Because it's paying more than that. Anyway, exchange. This was translated by a friend of mine. I asked him to translate it, but probably no. Come here, said Turnbull, until you see the sadness in the eyes of the horse. If you had hooves as big as there, you would have sadness in your eyes too. And it was clear that he understood so well the sadness in the eyes of the horse, and he thought of it so hard that he subsumed in the end in the mind of the horse. I gazed at the horse that I might see the sadness constant in his eyes. I saw the eyes of Turnbull looking at me out of the horse's head. I looked at Turnbull and I looked at him twice, and I saw his cheeks, the huge eyes that were dumb with sorrow, the eyes of the horse. I wrote myself, and it's a pity that Ramsville's here tonight because it's a villain now. It's called Last Words, and it's about bombing in Enniskillen, and has some of the words of Gordon Wilson. And it's Arthur Casey. Hold my hand before I go, then I know our love will fuse to feed my heart. God is good and we shall meet again. But now I know there has to be a plan, another place where we can start. So hold my hand before I go. Then look for a purpose. There will not be one, like there is in beauty and in all art. And God is good and we shall meet again. I bear no ill will, but look around and scan the broken bodies and lives torn apart. Now hold my hand before I go. Then we shall meet in heaven without pain. It's all gone now. I don't feel a dart. God is good and we shall meet again. You are my sweet lass, and there is no part for me to bear a grudge. So be alert and hold my hand before I go. Then God is good, and we shall meet again.
Next up, you have the night. It's his first time reading, and I'm very excited to hear it. A beautiful soul, and
it's my first time to really begin public with a microphone, so sorry for... It's my first poem in English, even though I'm not an English native speaker, so sorry for mistakes. This poem is called Mice. And I wrote this poem in Rome. I was falling down from the road to the San Giovanni Church. It's one of the best churches I've ever seen in the world. And it's a poem about that moment that you feel very angry, and that moment in which you are so mighty that you can do everything, so even so killing or murdering, and when you're very angry, that the moment is okay. Might. Silence of death reasons beyond bodies and pains. No organs, no mortal din. The choristers word has come. Might of reason, might of life, fitting the sprint murder, penetrating tolerant wounds. Matching mere songs. Rhythm of might, rhythm of might, rhythm of might. The dead are born, the skies fall in, whipping sharp, dipping poison memories.
You did committed suicide. Now showers you with blood. And mother lies like just Isaac's stones. Then a gentle flower interlude, like azure amnesia, gloom, their message in rough love, where tender sighs bloom. Thank you.
Next up is Alan's third time reading, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good evening. Tonight I'm actually reading, but I'd like to make in front of the
synopsis. Yay!
As most of you know tonight, this is Megan's last night at Ovale, and you probably know that because I've been shoving this in your face all evening. So this is the card I'd like to present to Megan for my week. So she's, I think, a part of her Ovale family. We're losing an Ovale sister, but hopefully she returns someday. And it's just a few comments for people, so.
Thank you, that's
very
nice.
And I think Shalene has a word she'd like to say about.
To those who know me, I'm not one for talking.
Really?
There's one thing I'd like to say, and that's to thank and acknowledge Megan. She's the girl from the USA, and I'd like to wish her all the best in the future, full of happiness, health, and wish her on her way. And when you're back home in the States and someone asks you for your Irish tale, I hope you tell them all about your Irish family here at Ovale. And there's one thing I'm certain of, and I really know it, that you'll be back here in the future as a famous guest poet.
I should say I've been reading on and off here for a couple of months, and I've actually been reading under false pretenses entirely, because I'm not really a poet at all. I've written hundreds of poems, but I've written more novels and, well, not hundreds of novels, written novels and hundreds of stories. And I took to writing short stories, because I was jealous of poets getting up and reading, getting a big clap after a, you know, 5-line lyric. So I started writing these small little poems. But my only excuse for reading this story is a story about a poet. Which is entitled "The Poet Who Died and Went to Hell," which could refer to anybody whatsoever. A poet died. This in itself is a rare and unusual occurrence, because poets are normally thought to be immortal. It was even suggested that this poet committed suicide because he wrote a bad poem. He was raised up to the gates of heaven so that he might be judged, and that his bad poem could be weighed against the other good works of his life. "I'm very sorry," Peter of the Gate said, since he had read what the critics and reviewers had to say. "You can't come in here. And anyway, the joint is overflowing with poets. You have to go to the other place. They actually need some poets to keep the whole crew of theologians, theosophists, psychologists, lawyers, and liars amused." Even though the poet was undoubtedly disappointed, he had some experience of being rejected. He had never received a bursary from the Arts Council, nor given readings before the President, nor gone on reading junkets away and abroad, or even had read at Ovale. "Look, just suppose," he said to Peter, taking his tears back because he knew he would need them in the other place. "Just suppose I did get in. Could you tell me, how would I spend the day? What do you do to pass the time within the pearly gates?" "Well, that's not a difficult question," said Peter. "You would spend your time listening to poetry being read. Paul and Paula and Theo and Phil and Seamus and Jean and Tyrone and Megan and Noah and Derek and Chase and Norris and Ted and Alfred and William and Silly Winnie. They're all here. Well, good for them, he said, and off he went with his tail or whatever between his legs. When he reached the Sulphur Gates, the welcoming party was waiting for him dressed in police uniform. RIC uniform. Look, before I come in, he said, the poet said, would you mind telling me how we will spend the day? What do you do to pass the time within the Sulphur Gates? Oh, that's not a difficult question to answer, said the devil devilishly. You will spend the day listening to poetry being read. Well, isn't that just deadly, said the poet. There's nothing I prefer more than to listen to poetry being read from the crack of dawn to dawning, the drawing down and dying of the light. What poetry will I listen to? Your own, of course, was the time.
I wrote this about an hour ago. It's called Engulfed in Flames Beside, and the next word is spelled D-E, Delhi. I've got 2 minutes.
Okay.
Am I the last one?
No.
So I've got 2 minutes?
It's 2 minutes.
Still two. Well, 2:33. Okay.
1.5 minutes.
1.5 minutes.
Patience, come on, turn the fuck up.
Get
put the kettle on, no cup of tea would be lovely. And some rich tea biscuits. Okay. Engulfed. Mystified. Lacking belief. Hurricanes evolving within my within. I surrender to you. I adore your being. The one behind. Light. Flashes. Of rain sweat. Bliss. Winter is really quiet. Tomorrow I go to a new land. Tomorrow I learn to swim in fire. This night I become who I am. This night I shall embrace all darkness within. Yesterday is gone forever. I stand bewildered in ecstasy. Your face forever before me, your hand in mine, my light gentle as a snowflake. I'm not doing too bad here, am I? For a beginner, right?
I don't know.
Cheers, come on, relax. Relax, for fuck's sake. Excuse my friend. Where have you been tonight? Who has entered your room? Did you remember to turn on the light? And most importantly, did you keep your mobile on for my call? I stand in the doorway, pipe in hand. A rock in my soul, immovable,
I await your move in love. In love, I shall conquer all. Have no doubt. I know now who I am. I am the light. Ah, no, no, no. We'll let Descartes alone for a while. I am the light in the window, in the palm of your hand, erupting like a new sun. Hallelujah. A new being is born. Hey, Peter, come on, please. I'm almost done. With respect, man, if you're up here doing so, I might be quiet for you. A new being is born. Summertime begins. Are you ready? I am. Eternity awaits. Fasten your seatbelts. Get ready. Pull up your socks and tighten your belt. Veni, vidi, vici. Let the good times begin. Meet you there. Thank you.